If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 to 10. One more announcement. Today at 1 p.m. In our chapel, we are having a celebration of life for Phil Daglish. So if you know a good flying Phil, he lived to be 100 years old, and we'll be celebrating his life today at 1 p.m. And also, from the bottom of our hearts as a staff, thank you so much for your kindness in the pastoral love offering last week. God bless you for that. I know we made a big announcement last week about transitions, particularly in our Next Gen Ministries, and thank you for your prayers and your encouragement in the midst of these transitions. Please know that the church is in good hands. Nothing's going to burn or be... The building's not going to be on fire. Let me just tell you that. We have good transition plans that will be in place. In fact, some people asked what happens with youth ministry comes in January. Pastor Ben will still be our transition pastor as we're looking for a new youth pastor. So have no fear. Have no worries. God is in control. I'm taking this passage from, as I've been doing over the last few weeks, from the lectionary, which is the verses that churches around the globe are reading from as reflect on the message of Christmas. And these candles that we have before us, these are called Advent candles, and we light each candle. It's an act of worship. It's a visual act of worship that reminds us that Jesus is the light in the midst of the darkness. And we lit the candle of hope a few weeks back, and then the candle of love. And last week, we lit the candle of peace. And today, we lit the candle of joy. Joy is our theme. And so I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 to 10. And then also, I'll be reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. This is Isaiah chapter 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. A passionate poem. We might be wondering, what is that even about? Sounds like a story of a desert turning into some kind of a place of paradise. And then over to Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. This is a passage called Mary's Song. It's a text where Mary has heard that she will be visited upon by the coming Messiah. She will give birth to the Messiah. And she sings this song. I'm not sure who was all there to record it. My guess is there was not some kind of a band behind her as she sung. It came out of her heart, and these were the words Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of this servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. A song of hope and a song of joy. What is joy? We've been talking about joy a lot in our midst, especially this fall season. We had a series called The Joyfully Spirit-Filled Life, believing that the Spirit-Filled life is seen or is expressed in a joyful manner. And we continue to talk about joy because this is a great theme of Christmas. In the Bible, the word joy is described, there's many words to describe joy. All sorts of Hebrew words and Greek words are used throughout the entire text that explain this idea of joy, of contentment, of pleasure, of satisfaction, of even being in a good mood. It's just this sense of saying that life is good, and you feel this urge or this enthusiasm inside that, well, the world's looking pretty good. There was joy in the house when we saw people baptized today. You can't help but smile and cheer. There was joy when we saw a young Addie singing the great song for us today, where we just can't help but smile and have this joy, this contentment, this pleasure come upon us. And you know, it's often a result of hearing good news. The shepherds saw these angels in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. The angels said, "Don't be scared. I know we're angels, and we know that this is strange and a little weird and a little supernatural, but we've got something to tell you." And this is what the angels said to these poor shepherds. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news," good tidings in some versions, "that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the promised King. He is the one that the prophets talked about. He is going to be born amongst you, the Lord." This is good news, and good news creates joy. All sorts of sources of joy that we are aware of. In the scriptures, we see different verses that talk about ways that the people of God find joy. One of the ways is finding joy in this world. An incredible world that we live in. What an amazing creation. You see Psalms like Psalm 104, that the entire Psalm is just talking about the marvels of creation. How beautiful and amazing are the oceans and the skies and the mountains and the trees and the animals. And this is an incredible place. And often at Christmas time, especially when I'm thinking of joy in my heart, I'm thinking of that song, "What a Wonderful World." What a wonderful world. Look what we see. Look what we've experienced. How beautiful is out there where we've been placed. This little rock in the middle of the universe is such a beautiful place, and that fills us with joy. I took pictures yesterday of the fog rolling in to the west side when I'm up in Smith Creek and you look down the valley, and there was no picture with my camera that I could take that would capture what my eyes could see. I'm sure James Jansen would have just done a fantastic job with, and maybe you did take pictures of the fog. He's going, "Well, yes, I did." It was just so beautiful. In the book of Jeremiah, there's great joy that comes from a wedding. Wow, people are getting married. Young love, this is beautiful. This is amazing. It fills us with joy. The birth of a child is mentioned in Proverbs, how children being born to us, or children that we have the opportunity to raise, gives us this great sense of joy. And then oftentimes throughout the entire Old Testament and into the New Testament, you see joy as a response to God's presence. God is present. Now we can have joy. God is here. Now we can have joy. And in some cases, it's even strange language that's mentioned, a response to God's presence, even if it means when God's judging the earth. We see in First Chronicles 16:33, it uses this strange language. It says, let the trees of the forest sing. Because why not? It's great to see trees singing. The trees are singing. Let them sing for joy before the Lord. Why? Because the Lord comes to judge the earth. Well, we usually think of the word judgment as something despairing and something discouraging or something frightening. Well, here the very trees are going, this is good news. We can have joy because the just judge is coming. And this is good news. Judgment is not necessarily bad news. And so we respond in joy to God's presence. The great irony when it comes to joy is that we live in a very corrupt world. It's kind of always been a bit of a corrupt world. Those that were followers of God throughout the times of the Bible would often reflect on that. This is a corrupt world. A corrupt world that's very difficult to find joy in, especially when people are being mean to one another. People are doing things that hurt or destroy. Nation against nation. Neighbor against neighbor, family member against family member. And life doesn't always treat us well. Sometimes we feel that nothing is just out there. We lose jobs. We lose income. We get news that someone in our family members, one of our family members is sick. We realize in a light way, that there might not be snow at Christmas time. We also hear that Grandpa might not make it until Christmas time. The world is a tough place. It can be a corrupt place where bad things happen to good people. And yet this whole message, why we light these candles, love, hope, and peace can be found in dark times. But it's not always easy to find joy in dark times. I feel at peace. Do you have joy? I'm not so sure. I feel the love. I feel the love of people around me. Do you have joy? Yeah, I don't know. I have hope that things will change. Yeah, but do you have joy? That's a tough one. But what we notice in the scriptures is that biblical joy is not adopted because of circumstances or because of weaknesses, but because of our hope in God. It's not because of the situation we're in, but it's because of our love for God. It's because of the peace we have in God. It's because of all these other candles we lit that joy can come. Back in the story of the Exodus, when the people of God were in the country of Egypt and they were slaves to the Egyptians, and there was this great experience of the people being released from slavery, and they're going through the Red Sea and their enemy is vanquished, and now they're stuck in the wilderness, and the first thing they do is they sing a song of joy. Thank you for rescuing us, God. Thank you for being present. Thank you that you are here for us. This is wonderful. And yet when you're reading the text, you realize they're in the middle of a desert. They're in the wilderness. They don't have a lot going for them. And some of them realize that over time where they start going, remember the melons back in Egypt? Oh, sure, we were whipped and all, but boy, the food was good. So yes, some of that complaining kicked in. But the first response to the presence of God was not that, why did you put us in the wilderness? That wasn't the first response. The first response was a song of joy. A song of joy that our God rescued us. This idea of God rescuing us, even when we're in a wilderness, you see this language work its way throughout our entire scriptures. The people of God realized that they were often in wilderness, especially when they weren't in the presence of God, especially when they followed other gods, especially when they found themselves in corruption of some kind. They realized that they were in wilderness and they did not sense joy. But when they realized the hope that they had, when God would come near, when a Messiah would come, when a king would rescue them, then this wilderness would turn not into another desert, but would turn into a garden. And that's why we read that great text right off the start here. This joy that's expressed, even while we're in turmoil, even while we might be ruled by other nations, even when it feels like everyone is against us, joy is expressed in the hope of the wilderness turning into a paradise. One day this wilderness we're in will turn into a paradise. And that's when we come to the Christmas story. Jesus, baby Jesus, that comes not into the magnificent city of Jerusalem, but into the backwoods town of Bethlehem. Angels appearing, not in the fruitful streets of Jerusalem, but there out in the wilderness where the shepherds hung out, the announcement was made, and joy was to be had. Because Jesus at Christmas time presents joy in the midst of the wilderness. That's the big idea, my friends. Christmas teaches us that joy is found in the wilderness. It's not determined by our struggles, but by our hope found in Jesus. Joy is not determined by our struggles or our suffering, but in the hope we find in Jesus. And if that sounds like a broken record, it's because it's the same thing I said almost every other week. Peace is not based on circumstances. It's based on a person, Jesus Christ. Love is not based on a circumstance or a feeling. It's based on Jesus Christ. Our hope is not based on our circumstances. It's based on Jesus Christ. Jesus comes into a corrupt world, brings his light, and we have hope, and we have love, and we have peace, and we even have joy in the midst of the wilderness because Emmanuel, God is with us and is present with us, and Christmas reminds us that in this wilderness, we can find joy. In the wilderness, there is joy. That's why Paul can say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, I'm sure you've heard this language before, or perhaps you haven't. This is a letter written in the New Testament. It's a letter by Paul sent out to those that are in the town of Corinth. And he talked a little bit about some of the struggles that he was having. He talked about this language of a thorn in the flesh where he felt always like there was something in his life, whether it was metaphorical or something physical, that he's going, I just can't get rid of this. It's frustrating to me. It's wearing me down. It's always on my mind. It's always clang, clang, clanging in my head. I'm so frustrated about this. And then he hears this word from the Lord that says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. If that's not a great definition of the gospel, I don't know what is. Power made perfect in weakness. Sounds like the cross. What Jesus does for us, being in very nature God, comes and dies on a cross like a death of a traitor. And yet in that moment, shows all power and all glory and all honor. And that same God talks to Paul and says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly or all the more joyfully about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. In the joy that I have in the midst of where I'm at, I can realize I can have this joy because of God being with me. Christ is with me. God is not removed. God has not forgotten planet Earth. And God has not forgotten you. And so at Christmas time, we can see joy in the midst of the wilderness. Like Grandpa Bjorgen many years back, a great preacher, then retired, and he thought he'd have many years of a good life and of a sound mind, and then he had a stroke. And that stroke took out some of the feeling in his face and some of his body, and he lost the ability to speak. This great orator could barely get out a sentence about how his day was going. But I remember that his smile never left him. Remember one day visiting him and grandma, and we were going to take them out for a meal, and we went up to the apartment, and grandpa was there, and he was going, hello, Jeff. And then he was pointing to the closet at the front door, and he was opening up the closet door, and he was pointing to the closet to my grandma. And my grandma was going, what do you want? And I don't understand what you're saying. Can't you just tell me what you want? And grandpa was pointing into the closet. I can't see what you want me to see, my grandma would say. And grandpa would keep pointing to the closet. And so grandma would walk into the closet, and then grandpa quickly shut the door on her and looked at us and went, hee, 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 hee. And I thought, this man has joy at the funniest times. Of course, Grandma Bjorgen did not have much joy at that time. And that was the first time I ever saw an 88-year-old woman bounce out of a closet and smack a man right in the chest. Or like my friend Sean, who had cerebral palsy from a young age. Back in Medicine Hat, he was in a wheelchair. He could move his hands, he couldn't move his legs very well, and I'd go to his house and we'd listen to Earth, Wind, and Fire. I'd never heard of them before, but he said, this is the best band ever known to man, Pastor Jeff. And so we'd sit and we'd listen to Earth, Wind, and Fire for an hour or two, and he says, Jeff, have you seen my dance moves? No, I didn't know you were a dancer. And he's in this electric wheelchair, and he turns up this song. That's my impression of Earth, Wind, and Fire, which is a horrible, horrible impression. And this is what he was doing, but I was waiting for him to try to do this somehow, but I knew it couldn't happen because he's in an electric wheelchair. Why would he even talk about dancing? But sure enough, the music gets going, and he moves back, and he just starts going, two times forward, one time back, spin around, move forward, move back, side to side. He says, come on, Jeff, you can do it. And so I'm in his room, and I'm going two steps forward and one step back and spin around like this, and we're dancing to Earth, Wind, and Fire. And we're having joy in the midst of Sean's wilderness. And you know what? You can have joy in the midst of your wilderness as well. You can have joy in the midst of your wilderness as well. I believe both of these two people I mentioned, Grandpa Bjorgen and Sean from Medicine Hat, who both realized that life wasn't easy. But Jesus came. And he came into the midst of a wilderness. And he said, you can choose joy. You can choose joy. And so that's my encouragement for all of us today. Let's choose joy. Isaiah chapter 51 verse 11 says, those the Lord has rescued will return. There's that hope. Those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion. Zion is a word for the city of Jerusalem. It can also be this metaphor of where Jesus' presence, God's presence is. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. I don't know what a crown in heaven will look like, but I love the idea of having a crown of joy. I love it being on our heads. Laughter is the language of the redeemed. Joy is the language of Christmas. God has done good things. The verse continues and says gladness and joy will overtake them. I love that. It's a sense of like you're running away from it, but it overtakes you. It will catch you. It says sorrow and sighing will flee away, which gives you this sense that sorrow and sighing are with you and dragging you away from joy. But here, the Lord is here. Gladness and joy will overtake you. And that sighing and that sorrow will flee away. Because with God's presence, nothing can take that joy away. With God being present in this world, the hope of the nations, we can have joy in the midst of our wilderness. I have a prayer that I'm putting up on the screen today. It's a prayer that I wrote that I'd love us all to read if you would like to. I don't want to put you on a spot. But I think it's a great word, a great prayer that we can say corporately together. I'm not quite sure where you're at in your Christian faith, or maybe you don't even consider yourself a Christian or follower of Jesus. You don't even know too much. I've been talking a lot of gobbledygook this morning to you and going, I just came here for the baptism and the cookies afterwards. And now you're talking about Bibles and prophets and Isaiah and prayers that we have to read aloud. What's going on? Hey, I'm just here to say that Jesus brings me joy. And if you never experienced that, Jesus can bring you joy as well. It's very easy. Just say, I want you, Jesus, in my life, and I just want your joy in my life. I'd love to chat with you. If you're out there saying, I want that. I really want that. Talk to me. I want to hear from you. But this prayer is a prayer that we can all read together, I believe. It talks about the joy that we have, that we can choose in the midst of our Christmas season, in the midst of a corrupt world, in the midst of the darkness we find ourselves in the midst of the wilderness, that we can read this prayer. Could we all stand together? Again, no real pressure, but let's read this together. Lord, today, through your Spirit, I choose joy. I choose to believe that this wilderness will not be my forever reality, and that in my weaknesses, you will be made strong. I will sing for joy, knowing that you are mindful of me and that you will have the last word in my life. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.